There's Doug.
Well, God bless you. Welcome to another Wednesday online fellowship in the Word. Sure wonderful to hear the manifestations. We were blessed this past Sunday to host a fellowship here in our home that a number of you attended. And I thought to mention that the next one that we'll do of that ilk Sunday fellowship where you can come in the flesh is the first Sunday in April, which this year is Easter Sunday. So we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ at our next Sunday fellowship. Carol mentioned seeing rainbows today. I thought it made me think of Isaiah chapter 55. Let's go to Isaiah 55 for a second. You know, one of the things that God would have each of his children to do is to think his word and to, you know, remember the word, to have things in life prompt the word to our attention. And, you know, today it was a rainy day in Northern California, which is sure a blessing. All of you that live up here know that. Carol and I have lived long enough in the state of California to have gone through some times of drought. In fact, the first year we lived here, which was back in the 70s, was right in the midst of a very serious drought with water rationing and different things. And we were praying for rain, and God heard our prayers and answered, and it rained. But, you know, boy, it's, when it rains, I'm very, very thankful because we need it. And it made me think of the section in Isaiah chapter 55, perhaps familiar to you, verse 10. It says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and maketh bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." You know, it's just, as I was walking in our backyard, and it just seemed like all the plants, all the flowers, everything had just perked up because of the rain, and it was, you know, it's terrific. It was beautiful. You know, it was needed for these plants to grow and to thrive. But now look what God compares rain coming down and bringing forth seed and flowers. It says in verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper at the thing whereto I sent it." You know, what a wonderful comparison. And it was really just fun and reassuring to think of that today as it was raining and, you know, God was blessing the earth with rain. But then the comparison to his word going forth and accomplishing God's purposes, that it prospers whereunto he sent it. And so I certainly pray that these online fellowships, as well as the fellowship that meets in our home and other activities that we're involved with, is that word going forth and blessing your life and, you know, helping you and causing you to prosper like God intends us all to do. And it's a real wonderful mental exercise and discipline is to have things around you that are happening, that you're observing in the senses realm, have it bring the word to mind. There's so many ways that can happen. Like when I saw a big, two beautiful, full, double rainbows today, I thought of Noah, and I thought of God's promise to Noah that he would not send a flood like he had to in Noah's time, but that there would always be seasons and there would always be that. And God cut a covenant with Noah along those lines. So it's just, there's so many things that can bring the word to mind if we just consider it and are spiritually minded. So let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And I want to continue to look at some aspects of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. God has given two great things to us for profit, two great categories of profit. The first is His Word, and I think just what we read in Isaiah 55 and so many other places talk about the profit of the Word, of what it accomplishes, what it brings about. Just fantastic, the Word of God. It's, you know, man can't really live without the Word of God. It's life-giving. It's essential. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 comes to mind. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. The Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we know how to live. It's in God's instruction manual for life. But then the second category of profit, and very closely associated with God's Word, is the Spirit. Verse that comes to mind, we'll look at in a minute, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to do what? Profit with all. So the Scripture is profitable, and the manifestation of the Spirit is profitable. That's how we gain God's profit in our life. It says it here in a little different, from a little different perspective, but the same truth. And in Matthew 22, it says in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err. You do err. You are deceived, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. See, we need both in our life. We need the Scriptures and we need the profit of God. Look at 1 Corinthians, or the power of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. The power of God, of course, comes from the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, really there's such a close relationship between the Scripture, the Word of God written, and the manifestations of the Spirit that rightfully they should be inseparable. Now, I know that people through the years have separated the two, you know, and in many respects, many Christians have ignored each or both of these great profitable realities. But that's not God's will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, the word gifts, King James is in italics, should be now concerning things of the Spirit or spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. What follows in these three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, is a wonderful exposition, wonderful teaching concerning things of the Spirit. It's the one place in the Bible where the nine manifestations are listed. 1 Corinthians 14, as we saw in previous teaching, is the one place that talks about the utterance manifestations use in the church, tongues with interpretation and prophecy. It's just a fantastic section, and God gave this section of Scripture concerning things of the Spirit so that we would not be ignorant, that we wouldn't be ignorant of the manifestations. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, you can't profit using the manifestations if you're ignorant of it. God would have us not to be ignorant of the manifestations. He wants us to be intimately acquainted with them. And then in verse 11 it says, but all these, this is after the list of the nine manifestations, all these nine manifestations worketh or are energized by that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he the man wills. Now, this section of Scripture is terrific because It would describe to us why people would err, like we read in Matthew 22, not knowing the power of God. Well, verse 1 says people are ignorant of the manifestations. That would be error. That would be deception for God's people not to know of the manifestations. But there also is a second side to it. Verse 11 is the manifestations are divided to every man severally as he the man wills. Now, once you gain a knowledge of the manifestations, you have to will to operate them. It's by your freedom of will that you speak in tongues or that you interpret or that you prophesy. It's by your freedom of will that you receive revelation and carry it out. You know, the manifestations are dependent upon your operation of the God-given ability. So God had this section written and many, many other places in the Bible to cure ignorance concerning the manifestations, and with the design that we as God's people will to carry them out, that we will to operate the manifestations. You know, I mentioned that when it comes to the Word and the Spirit, that they are really, when rightly divided, really inseparable in the Bible. And you can think about it. How did we get the Word of God? Well, the Word of God came by the Spirit, right? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, came by revelation. You know, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 while we're in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Another thing that's often overlooked is that to really understand the Scriptures, to really understand the Word of God, requires the Spirit. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man, that's a man of body and soul, man who doesn't have the Spirit of God, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Well, you know, largely because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Now, certainly at the top of the list of the things of the Spirit of God are the Scripture. You know, without the Spirit of God, people can't really understand the Scripture. You know, I know people can read it and they can dissect it and they can approach it intellectually. And, you know, there's scholars that, you know, are fantastic when it comes to the Greek language or Aramaic or Hebrew. But as far as really understanding the Word of God, it requires believing. It requires people that have the Spirit of God. Now, we have the Spirit of God. And by that Spirit, we can understand the Scripture. You know, another way that the Spirit and the Word of God are intimately, intrinsically connected is how did you get the Spirit of God in your life? You got it by believing the Word, right? You believed Romans 10:9. Somebody spoke it to you, or you read it, or you heard about Jesus Christ as Lord, and God raised him from the dead, and you believed it. See, it's believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how we got the Spirit. And then, of course, for us to operate the Spirit of God in our life, like we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it requires the Word of God to instruct us. And the Word of God is the instruction manual for Holy Spirit. You know, Acts 2:4, which we handled a few sessions ago, Acts 2:4 tells people how to speak in tongues. Sections of 1 Corinthians 14 tell people how to interpret and prophesy. There's many other sections in the Word that instruct about the operation of the manifestations. 1 Samuel chapter 3 comes to mind As far as how to receive revelation, Samuel is a young man, God instructed him how to listen and receive revelation. Many, many other places. But this is what's to be normative for God's people, is that we get a knowledge of the Word, and the Word teaches us to operate the manifestations. Sometimes I think people have made the manifestations sort of complicated. You know, sort of this mystical area that you really have to get to be really super spiritually mature to understand and to, you know, be able to operate. In fact, it's oftentimes been called advanced material to receive revelation. You know, it's advanced to operate the impartation manifestations. The Bible clearly tells His Word. And if you read the Word of God, you can understand it. We've got the Spirit of God to help us along the way. The Bible is the instruction manual for Holy Spirit. God wants His people to not be ignorant of spiritual matters. He wants us to manifest all nine manifestations. Now, it requires us willing to do it. We have to put forth some effort. But we all can do it. It's interesting to consider the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and how He worked with His disciples. Now, one thing to keep in mind about the four Gospels is that the ministry of Jesus Christ, amazingly, but factually, accurately, basically lasted 1 year. The time that He spent with His disciples here upon earth was about 1 year. It's called the acceptable year of the Lord. So He wasn't with these disciples for a very long period of time. He was with them for about a year, but during that year, He taught them the wonderful Word of God, and He taught them to operate the power of God. And first He did it by demonstrating it Himself. In Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." So verse 23 is Jesus Christ preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's the scriptures, the Word of God, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease amongst the people. That's operating the manifestations. In verse 24, "And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He did what? Healed them." Now, if you back up in the context, what precedes this directly was Jesus Christ calling out Simon called Peter and Andrew His brother, and, you know, requesting that they follow Him, which they did. So they and some of the other disciples would have been with Jesus as He was out teaching the Word and operating the power of God. After a period of time of observing Jesus Christ doing this, He also sent the 12 out. Look at Matthew chapter 10. He sent them out to do what initially He was doing by Himself. So He gave them great instruction, you know, so that they weren't ignorant, that they knew the scriptures and they knew the power of God. And look at what it says in Matthew chapter 10. It says, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's what he had been doing. Now he gave that power to his 12 disciples. Now the names of the 12 apostles, and then it lists them all, 12. In verse 5 it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, Jesus Christ had previously preached the gospel. Now he sent them forth to preach the gospel. It says, verse 8, it says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely what? Give." You know, what Jesus Christ was doing, now he had trained his 12 to do the same. And then it says in verse 16, it says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought." You know, don't be uptight. Don't get anxious. "How or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." You know what that is? It's speaking by revelation. You know, God giving words to these 12 men when they needed it, by the Spirit of God. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. "For it is not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you." Revelation. Verse 21. "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father of the child, and the child shall, children shall raise up their parents and cause them to be put to death." So very trying, difficult circumstances. And then look at chapter 11 of Matthew. In verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended at me." So it's quite an answer that they could take back to John the Baptist that, yes, this was the Christ. So Jesus Christ sent forth the 12, and then after a period of time, he sent forth the 70. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, it says, "After these things," in verse 1, "the Lord appeared," or appointed, "other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." And then in verse 9 it says, "And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." So Jesus Christ commissioned the 70 after he had sent forth the 12. And then verse 17, it tells us the result of this little outreach mission. It says, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with what? Joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any shall by any means hurt you. You know, what a great promise when people operate the power of God. In verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. When you think about it, it's fantastic. You know, the power that has been given to us by Holy Spirit. But the great thing is that we have eternal life, that our names are written in heaven. And look at what it says in verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto who? Babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You know, these guys that Jesus had recruited, first the 12 apostles, the 70 disciples, these weren't the great intellectual scholars of the Sanhedrin. These weren't the great religious, ones that were all instructed and memorized all the scripture and everything. But for the most part, they were fishermen. They were just people, common folk. And here, Jesus Christ calls them babes. Remember, they've just been with him for a short period of time. But yet he's taught them enough word that they can go out and preach the kingdom, preach the gospel. And he's taught them about operating the manifestation so that they go out and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. You see why, you know, I think it can be maybe a little misleading to think that to be able to do this stuff is something that you have to, you know, wait about for years and, you know, take a whole, you know, series of classes and have a PhD in homiletics and, theology and stuff before you can ever get to these advanced manifestations. I mean, these guys were operating from the get-go. Now, look, when you stop and think about it, these guys had a very decided advantage to you and me in one category. And that decided advantage was that they had the Lord Jesus Christ personally present with them. You know, talk about a privilege. Talk about just a fantastic teacher, to be able to observe how he operated, how he loved, how he preached the word, how he healed people. Fantastic. But compare it to us today. I believe a little bit later on in the Gospels, remember Jesus Christ had been telling them that he was going to go away? And he said to them, hey, it's expedient, it's good for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, I won't be able to send the Comforter unto you. In other words, Jesus Christ spoke of greater things than having him personally present. And think about what we now have. Every one of us have the Spirit of God born within. And that Spirit includes the ability to operate 9 manifestations, while these fellows back in the Gospels could only operate at most 6. And the other thing that we have is we have the whole Word of God written down, scriptures that we can read that are profitable, that instruct us how these manifestations operate, that instruct us about all of life. It's the Word of life. We have the scriptures. So you could say, well, yeah, those guys had Jesus with them, but what about what we've got? This continues. It says in verse 22, All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things which ye see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And look who this is revealed to. It's to these guys who we previously called babes. You know, later in the book of Acts, the religious leaders called Peter and John and the other apostles unlearned and ignorant men. You know, they weren't the great scholars. They weren't the most brilliant people necessarily, but they were believers. And we too are believers. So it's fantastic to consider what we've got because of the gift of Holy Spirit. You know, we have the ability to operate all nine manifestations, and we also have the instruction manual, which is the scripture. And when you stop and consider, well, okay, where in the Word does it teach one how to speak in tongues? That's a good quest. Where does it teach you how to interpret and prophesy? Where does it teach you how to operate the revelation manifestations? Where does it teach you about the manifestation of believing and carrying out the workings of miracles and gifts of healings? There's a lot in the Word about all of those things. So we have the written Word. We have the Spirit born within us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. To close, I'd like to look at Psalm 103, please. You know, there would have been fantastic times to have been alive in human history, certainly because of what God was working at the time. One place, or one era, one time that would have just been so filled with the power of God and so filled with the scripture, because it was first being written, was in the time of Moses. You stop and think about it. It's like up until Moses, the Word of God was not written down. You know, it wasn't scripture yet. It was, you know, it was passed on orally, or it was, you know, the most was what was written in the stars. But Moses was the first one to write down scripture. He wrote down Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know, because of God's dealings with him, him going up on the mount and getting fantastic revelation, and then him coming down and delivering it to the children of Israel. And there's a verse that sort of characterizes, you know, that period of time, you know, because Moses operated the Spirit of God, and there were fantastic miracles, the parting of the Red Sea and so many other things that, you know, the workings of miracles like the manna that came down from heaven and the quail that appeared and water out of a rock and all the great things that happened. But look what it says concerning this period of time in Psalm 103. It says, he, referring to God, God made known his ways unto Moses, but his acts unto the children of Israel. And this sort of characterizes a lot of the Old Testament. You know, that there were a few, there were some men, some women, that had the Spirit of God upon them. You know, it was given upon a condition. They had to stay faithful or they could lose it. But Moses had the Spirit of God. And so God worked with Moses, it says, face to face. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. And at the time of them leaving Egypt, the best estimate we have is there's about 2.5 million of the children of Israel. So for the children of Israel, you know, to know God and to see God work and stuff, they had to go through Moses. You know, because Moses was the one that God was working with. Now, compare that to our day and time. You know what it says about all of us in Philippians? It says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works in all of his children. All of us have Christ in us. All of us have the ability to operate nine manifestations. All of us can read and understand the scripture. All of us can preach the word. You know, the days of there being one man of God that everybody comes to, and then he is the one that has the spirit, and he's got all the knowledge, and we have to go through him to get to God, those days are over. Now, it's all in all of us. It's all spiritual blessings in every single one of us. It's not God making his ways known unto a man of God and us waiting for the man of God to speak from the mountaintop. But he makes known his ways to each of us via the Spirit of God and via the scripture. So what a great day and age in which we live, the age of grace, where every one of us have the Spirit of God. Every one of us have the scriptures that we can read and understand so that we're not ignorant of spiritual matters and that we can will to carry out the power of God in our life. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being your sons, your wonderful children in this day and age, of having the Spirit that we can operate freely, and Father, that we can continue to grow in our understanding of the scripture and of the manifestations. Father, thank you for the wonderful group of people that we get together each Wednesday to fellowship and to learn, and also the others that will be listening to the recording of this teaching. Father, for you blessing them with enlightened understanding. And may we just continue to grow and prosper and be thankful unto you for how you've made so many things available to us. So, Father, we love you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
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 God bless you.
You're the best.